Okay, that song to start off with was a bit of a pain, I've got to be honest with you, because it's stolen my thunder completely. I've got to rethink my entire approach. Okay, so while I'm doing that, let's stand and pray. So, why don't we lift our hands like this? I said it, boys, didn't I? I was going to get you to lift your hands tonight. Yeah, yeah. So they were telling me last night they struggle with the sort of hands from here to there, you know. So I thought, right, I'll get them tonight. You know what this is? Yeah, this is, Lord, I want to receive from you. I want to hear from you tonight. So let's ask him. Let's ask him that he would do that for us. Father, would you come here, Lord, by your Spirit tonight? Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Lord, what we want tonight, Lord, from deep down within our hearts, we say this. We want to encounter you, Lord. Lord, we want to hear what you've got to say to us collectively, but also, Lord, we want to hear what you've got to say to us personally, Father. So would you help us hear you? And help us see, Lord, what it is you are calling us to do for you, Father. In Jesus' name I ask you. Amen. Amen. Good. Okay. Okay, so we can have the first slide up tonight. First slide of many. Oh, that's not the first one, definitely not. That's all right, Rog, don't worry. Okay, so we've been looking. Let's just have a quick look. Okay, so we've been looking at a short series focusing on the people who God has used in the past to bring about His kingdom purposes, in terms of influencing their families, their communities, and more notably, actually, nations have been changed by individuals who have caught what God has asked them to do and they've stepped out and done it. Yeah. So who have we looked at so far? Peter, good. Barnabas, yes, absolutely. What does his name mean? Yeah, son of encouragement. Yeah, brilliant. Peter, Barnabas, not in order, but never mind. Shout it out. Paul, brilliant, good. Andrew, yeah, that's brilliant. That's really good. So we looked at those four guys so far. God's plan for redeeming lost humanity involves using humanity, as faulty as we are, to be instruments of change and transformation through the equipping of the Holy Spirit. He said it. The Holy Spirit makes all of the difference to our personal lives with Christ. That's God's plan, to use us to impact society, to impact the world around us. I know that you've been looking that you've been looking this week at the Old Test, this Old Testament character, and I know that you've all read this very long book, yeah, about him. So, if somebody that wasn't here for the first song, who is it that we are looking at tonight? Just to be clear, Jonah. Jonah and the whale. Yeah, it's Jonah. Interesting character, isn't he? Interesting, very interesting character. And I want to introduce him by adopting a fairly interactive approach to part of my message tonight. Hence, I'm going to start with a bit of a trivia quiz about Jonah. So the title of this evening's message is, God Will Use Anyone. Okay, he's not choosy. God will use anyone, even if they refuse to respond to his calling. So look out, guys. Because none of us are excluded from this, yeah? Or it applies to all of us tonight. And of course, that means that we are not actually talking about Jonah tonight, but about us, you and me. And just using Jonah's life to point out God's calling to us as individuals. Okay, so let's set the scene. What was Jonah's spiritual ministry? What was his role in the nation then? Don't take your time, because we'd be here all night. Otherwise, you've got to shout it out if you know it. What was his spiritual ministry? He was a prophet, absolutely. And what does that role involve? Hearing from God and speaking it out, telling the people what God has to say about things. How do we know this about Jonah, that he was a prophet? It's a bit of a tricky one, isn't it? It's the very first verse of Jonah, actually. He says, I've heard from the Lord. I heard the Lord say, yeah? But actually, in order to know a bit more about Jonah and this calling of his, then you have to go out to the book of Jonah to another passage of scripture. How many times, excluding Jonah, the book of Jonah, is Jonah mentioned in the Bible? Twice. The sign of Jonah. I hadn't thought of that one. See, Baptist. It's brilliant, isn't it? You did this to me last time, didn't you? I'd forgotten about that completely, yeah. Sign of Jonah. Fantastic. Okay, good. So apart from that one, it's only once. So, okay, I'll relent. It was twice. Okay, twice. Anyone know where the first one was in Scripture? I didn't think so. I knew I was going to catch you out. Okay, come over the next slide. So 2 Kings chapter 14. And in this passage, refers to a prophecy by Jonah that God would use Jeroboam II, who was a king of Israel, northern Israel, to keep the Assyrians at bay and expand Israel's territory. If you're going to be a prophet, those are the kind of prophecies that you want to be making. Yeah, great. Tap on the back time, that is, you know. Don't worry, God's with us. He's going to protect us, yeah. So let's have a quick read of that, yeah. So he, that is Jeroboam II, was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea. In accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. The Lord had seen how bitterly everyone in Israel, whether slave or free, was suffering. There was no one to help them. And since the Lord had not said he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, okay, the king of Israel at the time. And that's all, really, we know about Jonah and his ministry, apart from this extraordinary incident within his life, yeah, captured in the book of Jonah. Okay, so who was God saving Israel from at that time? So Jonah makes this prophecy that God was going to save Israel from their enemies. Who was their enemy at that time? Do you know? The Assyrians, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Now, the Assyrians were absolutely barbaric. They were merciless invaders, a horribly cruel nation who despised other nations around them. They were constantly threatening to overpower Israel and infringing violently into Israel's northern territories, always having a go and being vicious in the process. And the Israelites hated the Assyrians with a vengeance. They despised everything about them. So when Jonah came along, having heard this message from God, that God was going to use Jeroboam II to save them from these monsters, he was hailed. He must have been hailed a hero, don't you think? Must have been. So who can name a very large city in Assyria? Yes, you're right. But it's not the one that I'm looking for. And I thought I primed you earlier as well to... Okay, so if it's not Damascus... Somebody said it. Nineveh. Thank you. Okay. Okay, tell me what happened in this story then. Yeah, let's just go through a couple of points. Just tell me, firstly, what happened. Okay, I'll tell you. This approach obviously isn't working, is it? God gives Jonah a message for the people of Nineveh. Turn from your wickedness or face God's judgment and destruction. In the light of what we just talked about in terms of the Assyrians and their approach and the fact that Nineveh sat right at the heart of this region and this country, what do you think of this mission God gave Jonah to go and tell them, sort yourselves out, repent, or you're going to face God's judgment? What do you think of that? Yeah, it was dangerous, wasn't it? It must have been scary. He was going indefinitely into the lion's den because not only did Israel hate the Assyrians, but the Assyrians seemed to hate everybody, let alone the Israelites. And of course, Jonah was an Israelite. If I'm honest with myself and my own personal experience with God, it's most times when God asks or promises me to do something, it involves me overcoming fear of what God is asking me to do. Yeah. Multiple questions come into my mind when God prompts me to do something. Is it really from you, Lord? What will they think? What if I'm wrong? What if they start asking me more questions that I don't even know the answers to? What if they defriend me on the Facebook that I'm not on? You know, what if they actually get physical with me and start banging me about a bit? There are real challenges that we all have to overcome when God asks us to do something. But Jesus says this, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." There is no situation we can face which Jesus hasn't provided victory over our fears for. Jonah is most certainly confronted by this most immediate challenge. You can imagine him saying, "Nineveh, no, why can't I go back to Jeroboam? I'll go to Jeroboam." No, Nineveh's the place. Next slide. Let's just do a little bit of geography for a moment and look where in the world we are talking about. So the first map there, as you can see, is Jonah's where Jonah lives. Now, Jonah lived in northern Israel on the border of Zebulun and Naphtali, a place called Gath Hepher. I think I pronounced that properly, but who knows? We just spoke about the brutality of the Assyrians and their many incursions into Israel to conquer it. And of course, his home region would have borne the brunt of all of those assaults because it was located in northern Israel. Okay, second map. This is where Nineveh is. So you can see, it's on the border there of the current Turkey, Iraq. Yeah, so that's roughly where Nineveh is in modern-day terms. So God is asking him to go from Gath Hepher to Nineveh. No mean feat. It's got to be 1,000 miles, if not more. A long, dangerous journey through hostile territory. So what happens next? What happens next? God speaks to him. He calls him. He says, "Go from here to there with a message." What happens? Sorry? He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. Jonah says no to God's call and decides to run away, run in the opposite direction. Where does he decide to go? Tarshish. Yeah. Anyone know where ancient Tarshish is? in our modern world. Who said that? Who said that? Ah, man, you're incredible. I'm not kidding you. Just proves my point. Come over the next slide. Oh, no, actually. No, go back. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's the one. That's the one. Tarshish. No, it's the H has gone down. Okay. So, Tarshish, Spain. So, Jonah receives a message from God that he doesn't want to obey, so he runs away to the furthest point. Yeah, the furthest point of the known world at that point, yeah? The edge of the Mediterranean Sea. Yeah, so instead of going to Nineveh, he heads towards Tarshish, towards Spain. He was really making a statement there, don't you think? He really didn't want to go to Nineveh, definitely didn't want to go to Nineveh to deliver God's message. A strange thing for him, I think it was anyway, for he knew that God was the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that he was not restricted to a particular location in space or in time. So if he eventually did arrive in Tarshish, Jonah knew that God was going to be there too. So why run or sail in this particular case? He was really making a statement, I think, to God about his intention. An absolute statement. What lay behind this decision, do you think? Do you think it was fear? Fear. I can understand you thinking it's fear. Because that would be my first, that'd be my first reaction, I've got to be honest with you. And it'd be, it would be all of our reaction as well, wouldn't it? Josh's in particular. You know, he just owned up to that tonight. Sorry, Josh. But Josh isn't peculiar there. It would be all of our fears, wouldn't it? All of our fears. But I'm not sure that was the driver behind Jonah's decision. Because it doesn't really explain why he decided to move from his current home to Tarshish. Because, you know, it just doesn't explain that, does it? He was making a statement, I believe, to God, that he wasn't doing this, not because he was fearful of the Assyrians, but because he hated the Assyrians. And he knew what God was like when it came to forgiveness and mercy. He knew that if the Assyrians responded to God's warning and repented, that God would forgive them and not destroy them. And he wanted absolutely nothing to do with that. He wanted the people of Nineveh to know the full wrath of God's judgment, not the full extent of his love and mercy. And we'll see that in the next slide that's up. So this is the last chapter of Jonah, verses 1 to 3. And it says this. So they've just repented. He's just given them the message. They've just repented. God's forgiven them. And Jonah is outside the city and he's saying this. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. That was the reason Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want them to experience the loving forgiveness of God. Do you know this God who Jonah knew? Who loves the unworthy, who loves the unholy, who loves the unlovely, who loves those who don't deserve his love, who loves the world, the whole world, enough to send his precious son to pay the penalty for our sin, so that whoever believes in him would know God's love and the forgiveness and the gracious acceptance of God's, of Jonah's gracious God. Do you know him? Have you been running from him like Jonah? Then understand this. There's no hiding. There's no getting away from God's call and his love for us and those he's calling us to minister to. The psalmist said quite clearly, doesn't it? In the next slide, Psalm 139 says this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely, the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Yeah, if you just put the next one on, that's good. You know, we could go through this story in detail today about the futility of running from God, the destructive consequences of disobedience and not aligning ourselves up with God's call and purpose for our lives, whether it's an actual fish or a dream, and I'm most certainly not going to get into that discussion. The reality is, this story, as I said at the beginning, isn't about Jonah. It's about us. And whether we are prepared to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus in our daily lives, to love like he loves, to care like he cares, to minister like he ministers, to be his hands and his feet in the world around us. The call in our lives today is this. Are we in our frailty, with all of our faults and insecurities, prepared to be vessels of God's grace in this world we live? Channels of his love to those we think deserve it and to those we think don't deserve it, but God does. He wants us to submit the course of our lives into his hands because he has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives, all of us in this room. He's got a plan for us. The psalmist says this in Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Are we prepared, unlike Jonah, to give ourselves wholeheartedly to God's purposes for our lives? Knowing God and what he is like, are we sufficiently convinced of his plan for this world and our lives to commit ourselves 100%? Not leaving anything out. Yeah, all of ourselves to the cause. All of ourselves to his calling, his mission. Jonah's a great story. It really is a great story. A great instance in our man's life. He had an incredible encounter. And there are many topics that we could pick out of this instance in Jonah's life to speak about today. But very soon after being asked to speak on this subject, I was drawn to this picture that Jeremiah had of the potter in Jeremiah 18. Many of you will know it very well. How he sees the potter making a clay pot. Let's just read it for a minute. It's up on screen there. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel? Because he was talking to Israel at the time, but he's talking to us today. Can I not do with you, Gateway, Pete. As the potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. And we need to replace the reference to Israel and just insert our names into that picture, friends. Can I do with you, Pete, as the potter does to this pot, reshaping it so that it is fit for purpose in my kingdom? That is what I believe the Lord is saying to us through the story of Jonah today. He could be saying a number of other things, okay, because Jonah's full of loads of points and substance for our lives. But today I think he's asking us this question. Can I do with you, Pete, as the potter does to this pot, reshaping it so that it's fit for purpose in my kingdom? Will you be my clay pot? Will you let me shape you? And as I look around today, I can see that being a little potty might well suit quite a lot of you, in fact. So, that's not a bad thing, eh? That we're talking about pots today. God says to us here, and now, will you be my people, fulfilling my kingdom purposes in your Ninevehs, in your family settings, in our communities, in our workplaces, our schools, with our friends and neighbors? Will you be my image bearers, my storytellers, my grace givers? Because God wants our lives to tell a story of God's love poured forth. He wants to transform our messed up pot into a pot of beauty and distinction so that our pot, our lives, can inspire other messed up pots to undergo the same transformation. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before others. What does that mean? Well, in the darkness of our Ninevehs, shine forth. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Give me the next slide. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says this, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What is Paul saying here? I have submitted my life to the potter's transformational hands, Paul is saying. I have made my purpose for my life God's purpose for my life. I have laid aside that Jonah spirit and given my life to pursuing what God wants for me. That's what Paul was declaring there. You might say, well, yeah, Pete, all sounds good, but you don't know me. God won't use me. God doesn't want to use me. I don't even know if I want to be used. One thing we should see definitely from this story of Jonah tonight is that God will use anybody. Okay, God will use absolutely anybody. Whether they are prepared to be used or not, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He doesn't use the naturally strong. He's even prepared to use someone who really doesn't want to be used. So there's no getting away from it. It must include all of us. It's got to include all of us, yeah? God wants us and has a purpose for our lives in our personal environments. Yeah, but still, Pete. And hear me, because it's true. I'm just not gifted for this. I'm not capable of doing this. And I really get that, okay? I really get that because none of us are we. None of us have the qualities that we think are things that God would want to use. But God is prepared to use us because God never calls us to do something that he doesn't firstly equip us to fulfill. I'm just coming to the end. Because right at the heart of all of this is the fact that God has given us his Holy Spirit and is prepared to release in us and through us spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit to help us with this task. We just need to ask and step out. Why do you think Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians 14 to follow the way of love and earnestly seek spiritual gifts to help us fulfill the mission in Nineveh? Remember that verse I brought a few weeks ago? Not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And for those of you who were observant when reading the book of Jonah, how profound and eloquent was Jonah when he actually got to Nineveh? How long was his message? Anybody tell me? It wasn't. But it's pretty close. It's eight. But in your translation, it may well be five. So I'll give it to you, okay? Yeah. Let's put it up on screen. What did he actually say that was so convincing? 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It's not exactly, you don't have to be that gifted, do you, to go and say that. Let's be honest about it. Not very eloquent, but it was God's word at the right time, and the Holy Spirit did the rest. The Holy Spirit did the rest. What did Jesus promise us when he commissioned us just before his ascension into heaven? He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world." We just need to step, and he will do. Not sure you like the sound of this? You're heading for sunny Tarshish or Barcelona? Yeah? Well, remember, God's in Barcelona too, okay? And his calling on your life isn't going to stop just because you move and because you run and because you say no. He's still going to be calling us. He's still going to be calling us. Can I have the last slide? So what is God asking you to do right now? Nothing? God didn't work like that, sorry. God is definitely speaking to you. He's definitely placing a calling on your life. He's definitely got a purpose for each and every single one of us. If you think it's nothing, I think you're wrong. Because he's asking something of you right now. You may not be able to hear or perceive him asking, but he's definitely asking something of you right now. Maybe he's spoken to you through the midweek groups and the courses that we've been doing in our midweek groups over the month of February. Don't block him out. Don't turn around and start heading for Tarshish, because that voice isn't going to stop when you get to Tarshish, okay? And it might be a bit bumpy on the way, just to warn you, as Jonah found out. Okay, let's stand. I wonder they're coming, which is good. Let's just take a few moments to let the Lord speak into our hearts. Let's ask him to open our ears so that we can hear him, and open our eyes so that we can see what it is he wants us to be doing, because he's definitely got a purpose for you and for me. Let's just close our eyes together. Lord, I just pray right now, Father, that you would speak very personally into each of our hearts, Lord, and into our lives, I pray. Lord, would you